Joining us to talk about the NFL is a writer for SI, Sports Illustrated, friend of the program. Still the very best player with a rat tail at the Art Monk football camp for 5 years running. Robert Klemko is my guest. Robert, great to have you back. How are you?
You're just never going to let that go.
I love it. How can I? It's like the best thing ever. And you earned that. You deserve credit for that. And I'm going to make damn sure you get that credit. You earned it. What's up, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good. Really good. Really good. So I think you have a great piece up right now on the Cleveland Browns on MMQB. And it starts with this anecdote from the Tampa Bay game a few weeks back. So let me start right there. Second and 26, Baker Mayfield runs for a 35-yard gain. Tampa safety Jordan Whitehead delivers a hat-to-hat shot. Mayfield jumps right up and gets right after Whitehead yelling, "Yeah, mother bleeper." So what about that moment right there? What does that say about Baker Mayfield?
Well, I think to his teammates, it said a lot, because those guys put a really high value on a quarterback who can step in there and go tit for tat with other teams and is as competitive as they all feel that they are. And I think that that's what they've got, and that's what they've learned about Baker Mayfield.
So they're learning more and more about him, and you've spent some time with him, so probably you were not surprised by that. I mean, when you look at this, and you've got, like, Devereaux Lawrence, a defensive lineman, saying, quote, "Baker's a dog. There are certain things that you can't teach dogs. There's a whole bunch of savages in here, but we've got one in a quarterback." He looked at him and told him, "Yeah, mother bleeper." Everybody could read those lips. I mean, that's an amazing quote. When you've got a rookie quarterback getting that kind of love from a defensive teammate, how big is that?
Yeah, you know, Devereaux was one of the guys that went home and watched the film on his tablet. And all those guys, you know, they look at the film either that night or they get back there Monday morning. And that was something that a bunch of them talked about, just how competitive he is and how none of them would mind running through a brick wall for him. And you know, put aside the stuff he says off the field, which has all been tremendous, and how well he's played, you know, you could make the argument that he's the best rookie quarterback in the NFL right now among all those guys playing. But just the competitive nature, I think, is exactly what John Dorsey wanted when he was drafting a quarterback at number one overall. He wanted somebody who was going to fight through all the trash in Cleveland.
Robert Klemko joining us. So he wanted a competitive quarterback, but that trash you're talking about, I mean, I got to be honest, I'm not sure there's a more fascinating team than the Browns this season. When you look at what they've done, I mean, the roller coaster, the almost wins at the start of the year, that big win over the Jets, more close games, the firings of Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. In terms of Baker Mayfield, I know John Dorsey wanted a competitive quarterback, but did he factor in that potential dysfunction? Did that factor at all in his decision to take Baker Mayfield?
Yeah, when you talk to people that are close to John, I think he realized that, you know, Hugh Jackson's job wasn't guaranteed and that there was a possibility there was going to be a coaching change this year. I mean, you think that anytime you have a coach who's 1-31 going into a season in his last 2 years as head coach. So with Baker, I think they really like the fact that he did leave Texas Tech after being Big 12 Freshman of the Year and walk on at Oklahoma and earn that job and supplant some guys that were in line before him. So they saw that he knew how to fight through a situation that looked somewhat dire. He was an underdog kind of guy with an underdog mentality, and that's what you have to be the Cleveland Browns quarterback right now.
Robert Klemko joining us. I think most people around the NFL, Robert, would say that they looked at Hugh Jackson and they looked at Todd Haley, and they're like, how in the world is that going to work? So what was that relationship like during the season? And as things started to go south a little bit, how much attention was Jackson paying to what Haley said and what he did?
Yeah, you know, when it was announced that Todd Haley was going to be joining that staff and he was going to be taking over offensive play calling duties, I think most people who cover the league kind of scratch their heads, because those are two very different personalities, but two really headstrong guys. And I think we all wondered how it was going to work. And what happened was that Hugh basically absolved himself from all offensive responsibility, didn't even sit in for the install meetings for Todd Haley's offense in the spring and summer. And then over the course of the year, as the offense struggled, although not as much as it struggled last year with Hugh calling the plays, but as the offense, you know, struggled to put points up and to capitalize on its incredible defense and all the turnovers they were producing, Hugh tried to insert himself into some of those meetings and to add some of his ideas. And from what I hear, Haley was pretty receptive to that, but there was a disconnect, not only between Hugh and Haley, but between Coach Jackson and the players, because a lot of those younger players, especially Baker Mayfield, didn't know anything about Hugh Jackson's offense. And I think they recognized that Hugh Jackson also didn't know much about Todd Haley's offense. It's a very bizarre situation. And it's always surprising to see a head coach and a coordinator fired at the same time. But I think this situation merited it.
Robert Klemko joining us. So in terms of that decision to fire both those guys at the same time, how much of that was about Mayfield and making sure that the tension between those guys did not wreck his future?
Yeah, you know, I think that they wanted to avoid assigning blame to one party and absolving another, or making it seem like they were scapegoating one person or the other. So if you get rid of Jackson, you got to get rid of Haley. If you get rid of Haley, you got to get rid of Jackson. They have a lot of confidence in Freddie Kitchens. You know, I think he's a dark horse to win that OC job next year if the next head coach they bring in is amenable to it, and obviously if that offense improves. But the big thing to me is that they need to create some sort of continuity and figure out some way to protect Baker Mayfield, because this entire season is a wash if he leaves with a season-ending injury. And the way that he's taken hits, not last week but in weeks prior to that, has been unacceptable.
We're talking to Robert Klemko. So what about Greg Williams? Nobody quite liked that guy. How different will they be under Greg Williams for the rest of the year? And is there any chance that he could get that job full time?
I don't think that there's a chance that he gets that job full time. I think the person that gets that job is going to be an offensive-minded head coach, or at least have connections around the league to some of the best offensive minds and have some relationships to where they can present to John Dorsey a plan to bring in an offensive coordinator that is really highly sought after in this league. With Greg Williams, you know, he comes in with that Bounty Gate reputation that's really hard to shake. I think a lot of people before he got the Cleveland job felt like a DC job has become a ceiling for him. And he hasn't shown as a head coach, you know, in this first game or, you know, in talking to the media that he's anything outside of his reputation, which is, you know, in a hard charging, can be somewhat abrasive, crass guy. And maybe that's what the Browns need right now. But I don't think long-term that's what John Dorsey's looking for.
Yeah, I don't know that that's what he needs. I know that's what I need right now from a media standpoint. This guy's unbelievable. All right, so you mentioned what John Dorsey might be looking for. Then again, Robert, team owner Jimmy Haslam famously took the advice of a homeless person when it came to drafting Johnny Manziel. So is it a certainty that Haslam will take Dorsey's recommendation for a head coach?
No. You know, it wasn't a stipulation of Dorsey's coming to Cleveland that he have autonomy and be able to hire the head coach on his own. Jimmy Haslam wasn't offering that to any GM candidate. And he also made the choice to hire Hugh Jackson when members of his front office preferred either Sean McDermott or Matt Patricia. So, you know, I wouldn't rule out the possibility of John Dorsey settling on a head coaching candidate and Jimmy Haslam going another way. They're both going to be involved in that process. It's going to be a collaborative thing. And I think John's hoping that he has a little bit of leeway here, but you got to remember John Dorsey has never hired an NFL head coach. So in a sense, Jimmy Haslam has more experience with that than John Dorsey. Maybe his experience is pretty bad and his record is pretty awful, but he has the experience, so I think he feels like he knows what he's looking for.
We're talking to Robert Klemko. We're talking about the Cleveland Browns. He's got a piece up right now on that team on MMQB. So in the wake of that firing, one of the names, Robert, that comes up is Lincoln Riley. You've spent some time with Riley. How do you think that he would do as an NFL head coach, and is that something that you think might interest him at this point?
You know, I don't know that it would interest him. I know that he said that's not in the cards right now. I think the bigger question is, would John Dorsey be interested in bringing somebody up from the college ranks to try to change the culture of a program? I mean, Hugh Jackson got it started, and there were positive things that he did there, but there's still a lot that needs to change about the expectations there on a day-to-day basis. And I would think that John would lean towards hiring somebody from the NFL side who has experience with pro players, as opposed to putting a college coach like a Matt Campbell or a Lincoln Riley through a crash course in managing NFL players who, with their different motivations and different skill sets, are going to be very different to coach than, you know, the kids at Oklahoma.
Right, so bottom line this, the Browns' record is not that great, although it's better than it's been the last couple of years. I mean, in a way, it would be easy to say same old Browns. Does it feel like that to you, the same old Browns, or does it feel like there's hope here for their fans?
Well, you know, you talked to Joe Thomas and some of the guys that have been there for a while, and I think that they feel like there's a core of young players there that they haven't had in the past. There's a lot of turnover over this roster over the last couple of years, But the key guys, your Christian Kirksey, you now your rookie Denzel Ward, Miles Garrett, Joel Bitonio, J.C. Tretter, Larry Ogunjobi, they've got 7, 8, 9 guys that you could see being around there for 7, 8 years. And that's not something that they've had in the past when they've had coaching turnover. So to me, for that reason and for the fact that they feel like they have a franchise quarterback identified in Baker Mayfield, it's a very different scenario than same old Browns.
It's a great piece, great conversation. What's next, Robert? What are you working on for the MMQB? Anything in the works?
You know, I may head out to Pittsburgh, not sure, but I think I'm going to be spending the weekend home in Denver.
Nothing wrong with that. He is a friend of the program. He is a football writer for SI. Robert Klemko is my guest. Appreciate you, Robert, very much. Great job.
Thanks for having me.
Great talking to you. He's one of my favorite guys to read and talk to. Robert Klemko joining us. All right, so we're open the rest of the way.